Turn to Romans chapter 8. I want to preach on election. No, not
again. Are you for it or again?
I'm for it.
There you go.
No, Romans chapter 8. So I've already told my lie for today, so I got that out of the way. Romans 8, and let me begin in verse, I'm just going to read two verses 24 and 25. The Apostle Paul says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." What I want to speak about this morning is hope, but I want to try to speak about spiritual hope. Spiritual hope. Now, the Scripture never terms it spiritual hope, but the Scripture is also nonetheless quite clear that the hope spoken of in most places has to do with hope that comes from God. Now, the word hope means, just the word, even from the Greek, means to expect or anticipate. Okay? Now, when speaking of hope for ourselves, we talk about something we hope for. You know, I hope for this, I hope for that. When we speak about hope for ourselves, it is most always an anticipation of something we perceive as good.
Exactly.
Right? Something we perceive as desirous, something we want.
Yeah.
When we get our feelings hurt or we get our ego crushed, we may hope ill of another. You see what I'm saying? If you get hurt, sometimes you may hope ill of another. In other words, I hope that person's pet gerbil dies. That's a very light way of putting the way we hope. But you see, when we hope for us, what do we always hope for? Almost always.
Good things.
But sometimes things happen, we may hope for things for someone else that may not be good. If anyone hopes ill toward themselves, we all know, this is a fact, they probably need pills. You know what I mean? We would probably say they need a doctor. Because no one normally, I won't say naturally, no one normally hopes ill for themselves.
Exactly.
We always, or not always, but we may, though we may hope ill towards someone or something else. I'm not here to deal about that, but that's just a fact. That's kind of the way hope. It's hope. It's to expect or anticipate. Now, the Scripture recognizes the use of this word on a purely human level.
Yes.
And just as an illustration, I had the passage, I didn't write it down, but it said, I think it was Herod hoped to see some miracle done by Christ. Isn't that the way it says? Forget where it's at. Because it said he had hoped to see some miracle. That is, he had this expectation or this anticipation, he wanted to see something. However, the majority, and it's an overwhelming majority of the New Testament uses of the word hope, and that's mainly what I will deal with. The majority of the New Testament uses of the word hope go outside a mere human characteristic, and they go into the realm of God and His promises. That's what the Scripture means when it talks about hope. In other words, or before I give you the in other words, the word hope is sometimes translated in the King James Version as trust, which is not a bad translation, because when you expect something based upon the promise of God, you have reason to what? Trust God for it.
Exactly. That's right.
If God promised it, it will be done.
Amen.
You see. One time it's translated faith. They actually translated faith. Now, it's not the word faith. And it's not the word trust, because we generally think of trust as connected to faith, right? No trust and faith. Yet hope is trust as well. But this ought not be any odd thing, because the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, and I believe it says verse 13, now abideth. And I just want to stress that word for a moment. Now abideth. That doesn't mean this. Doesn't mean something all of a sudden jumps up. Now abideth. Now abideth what? Faith, hope, and love.
Amen.
So these things are sisters.
Yeah.
What I'm going to call sister graces. A person doesn't believe in something they don't hope for.
Yeah.
And a person doesn't believe and hope for something they don't love. So these things are vitally connected. So again, as I said, Scripture recognizes it will use the word hope on a purely human level. But the greatest majority of these passages deal with hope in the realm of God and His promises. Thus, scriptural hope, or more particular, spiritual hope, it is this, hope that it is a hope rather that has God as its author. That's Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And let me just read that verse. Romans 15, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, now the God of hope.
Amen.
Now the word here is in the possessive. It's not simply the God that we hope in, though that's certainly true, but it's the God of hope. So this hope here that Paul is speaking about comes from who? It comes from God, because He's the God of hope. To illustrate, in the Greek, there are different words for love. Okay, there is the word agape, which is this God's love for us. Okay, there is the word agape, which is our love for Him, or even one another. Joe, what you quoted, love the brethren. There's also the word philios. And there's also another Greek word, which is the New Testament never uses, because it's basically talking about sexual lust. The Scripture doesn't even use that word. It just comes out and says it. It calls it what it is. Lust. It doesn't have to use the word love with it. And so basically what I'm saying, there, you can look at times, you can look even in the New Testament and see that the author is right using the word agape, which means spiritual love, or philios, which most of the time is used concerning human feelings.
Yeah.
Human feelings. But the word hope, you don't ever find that separation. Yet the Scripture distinguishes between mere human hope and spiritual hope. One reason is, as I've just read, God is the God of this hope.
Amen.
And this hope is always a confident expectation or anticipation of the promises of God. And we see that in Acts chapter 26. So one, He is the God of hope. That is spiritual hope. And let me find it, Acts 26. And verses 6 and 7. And the Apostle Paul is now under the gun. And he says in verse 6, and now I stand and am judged for the what? Hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. And generally, not always, sometimes the word hope is used subjectively, sometimes it's used objectively. But almost all instances where any writer is talking about hope in something particular, it almost always uses the word promise with the word hope. And the reason is our hope is in the promises of God. That's why we can hope. It's because God promised it. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Unto which promise? Our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. You see it? For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. So one, hope is this hope. Spiritual hope is of God. Two, it is hope in his promises. Something that God said. And it's based upon the testimony of Scripture. That's found in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And I'm saying this for a reason. I'll try to tie this together in just a moment. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now what's he talking about? The Old Testament Scriptures. Not the not any Hebrew classics, not Hebrew poetry, not ancient Greek, none of those things. He's talking about Scripture here. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You see it? And see the order there. You spiritual hope has something that it lays its teeth into or sinks its teeth into. And that is what? That's the Scriptures.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
Therefore, spiritual hope is not what I wish God would do for me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Scriptural hope is not what I wish God would do for me. Even more than that, scriptural hope, spiritual hope, is not what I even want God to do for me just because I want that done for me. Hope has to do with a direct promise from God in the Scripture that this or that thing will be done. That's hope. So spiritual hope is not what I wish God to do for me, but what I know God will do for me because he's promised it. You see that? That's what spiritual hope is. In other words, this is the difference between not only a wish and a hope. And I'm not trying to be critical to you or even to myself, but we often use the word hope when we mean wish. And it's certainly applicable in a purely human sense. But when we talk about the promises of God, we should never state it as though it's a wish.
That's right. Yeah.
But rather that it is a confident expectation that what God has promised, not only is he able to perform it, that's part of it, but also that he will perform it.
Amen.
That is spiritual hope. In other words, we dare not exalt fallen human hope as spiritual.
Yeah, that's right.
Nor lower spiritual hope to the dung heap of fallen humanity. You see what I'm saying? Most people are under the impression that anybody can hope. Anybody has the ability to hope. It's the constant doctrine of free will. This inner ability. Whether it be hope or faith or love, or joy, or patience, or whatever, religion, even so-called Christian religion, says all mankind, or at least most mankind, are at least capable of these things. And what we do is we take our human hope, or our human faith, or our human joy, and then we must place it in the right place. And that's not what the Scripture presents as spiritual hope. Now here's a verse that just defines this. It says, I can't say exactly what it says in other words exactly what I just said. It's Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. This is speaking of Abraham, who was told that your wife will have a son. Okay?
Yep.
She's going to conceive a son. And this was not an immaculate conception. See, too many people are under the impression that, yes, this was a miracle, but it was not immaculate. This was actually Abraham and Sarah coming together and making a child the natural way.
Yes, sir.
But the problem was Abraham was too old to have sperm.
Yeah.
I'll be just as blunt so there's no misunderstanding. And Sarah not only was barren from the get-go, but herself was then past the age of normal childbearing. And God said, you too are going to have a son. Right? And you're going to have a son the natural, normal way. Only it would take a miracle of God for it to take place.
Yep, exactly.
And Paul puts it this way, who against hope believed in hope.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yep.
That's the same thing as what I just said before. We dare not exalt fallen human hope as spiritual, nor lower spiritual hope to the dung heap of fallen humanity. He against hope. What could he as a natural human being hope for concerning him and Sarah having a son?
Exactly.
There was no hope. Anything would have been nothing more, Mason, than a fanciful wish, you see. And that's basically what human hope is, a fanciful wish. Yet God said, at this set time, Sarah shall have a son. Therefore, Abraham, against hope, believed in what? Hope. But hope based upon what?
Yeah.
The direct promise of God.
Amen.
Now, religion is big on teaching men and women to hope from God whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Believe it enough,
yeah.
Pray for it enough, be faithful enough, or a conglomeration of all three of those things,
yeah.
And then God will give you what you want and you can hope in Him for it. The Scripture never presents spiritual hope that way.
Exactly.
Never presents spiritual hope that way. And here's three reasons why I want to give you for this morning. I will probably talk about hope later. This morning is spiritual hope. It's characteristic, what it really is. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll look at the experience of hope. What it is to actually have hope. You know, to have actually have this hope. Three things. First, it's hope's connection.
Yeah.
And I just give these just for a mental aid. Hope's connection. Let me find it. Number two, hope's span. Okay, hope's connection, hope's span. Let me find number four. Number three, hope's momentum.
Yeah.
Okay, now, first of all, hope's connection. The Apostle Paul here in our text connects hope to salvation.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He connects hope to salvation. But let me clarify something. The King James Version says, for we are saved by hope. You know what? That ain't right. We're not saved by hope. We're saved by grace.
Amen.
Now, if you will look at the Greek, it is not for by... Or let me get back to it. What the King James actually... Now it says it. For we're saved by hope. Here's what it actually says in the Greek. And I'm reading it in the order of the Greek. The order doesn't really matter. It's the word. And if you translate the word, it's not by, it is in. Epsilon, whatever the epsilon, in. For in hope we are saved. First of all, in is the translation here. It's not by. We're not saved by hope. We're saved in hope.
Exactly.
Now think about this. Paul here in this is not talking about the source of salvation,
yeah.
But he's talking about the mode of salvation. Do you understand the difference there?
Sure.
It's the same thing as when he says, for by grace are you saved, well, through faith. You can't switch that around. To switch it around is to tell a lie about the truth of God.
Yeah.
It is not for by faith are you saved through grace. It is for by grace are you saved through faith. Paul is not here saying we have to hope to get something from God. Because hope is based upon what God's already promised is going to happen. Not what might happen if we hope or if we believe or if we repent. It's what God says this will happen.
Yes, sir.
And this is actually what Paul said if you look at it in the Greek. For in hope we are saved. So Paul here speaks of mode of salvation, not the source of salvation, or in other words, he's talking about the form it takes, not the foundation.
Yeah.
You see that? It's the form of salvation, not the the foundation of our salvation is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
And that's it. My salvation is based upon this. When he died on that tree, he died for me. When he died on that tree, he carried my sins away. Not only was he made sin for me and bore my sins in his own body on the tree, but he bore them away.
Exactly.
That is the reason I have hope.
Amen.
You see, that gives me hope.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because the scripture says this was done.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Now, it doesn't say it was done for me. The religious world will tell you that was done for everybody. No, but it was done for somebody. And those who hope in it are those who it was done for. So again, Paul's talking about form, not foundation. We're saved. Now here's another thing. For in hope, and the translation is not are saved, it we were saved. The first mention of hope. For in hope we are saved is not our hope.
Yeah.
It's the hope that resides in God.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, God doesn't have to hope. He sure did. Even Christ had hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at it. Acts chapter 2. And, you know, I'm not even going into the Old Testament. Well, let's just look at this one passage. Acts chapter 2. And let me find it. Okay, here it is. Yeah, verse 24 for a little bit of context. Of course, Peter here is talking about who? Jesus Christ. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore, and we know, if you look, this is a quote of Jesus Christ. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in what? Hope. What here? There here is hope that Christ knew I'm not going to stay in the grave.
Exactly.
Because God Almighty has promised I will have resurrection.
Yeah.
Right? Even our Lord had hope. And as a matter of fact, God the Father promised him a people.
Amen.
Then,
yes, sir.
God, in other words, I and the children which God hath given me.
Amen.
He had hope in God, that what he did would bring to himself every one of those people.
Yes, sir.
And this is why Paul actually says, for we were saved in hope.
Amen.
Because this here is not are saved, it is were, it is aorist. Past tense. Done. It's finished. It's over with.
Yes, sir.
Not we are saved. You see, that's where most people, they don't study. Oh, I love the King James Version. But they don't even go to the majority text or received text to find out what it actually says.
Yeah.
And when they do, Mac, I don't think they really care.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, my hope is not based upon something I'm able to do. Mm-hmm. It's based upon something that already has been done.
Amen.
We're saved. We were saved in hope. That is hope's connection to salvation. You see, we're not hoping God will save us if we believe.
Exactly. You're right.
Our hope is that he has saved us.
Amen.
And we believe that.
Exactly.
You see, we don't believe to be justified in God's sight.
No, sir. You're right.
We believe we have been justified in God's sight.
Amen.
We don't believe so that Jesus' blood will put away our sins. We believe and thus have hope that Jesus did put away our sins. I'm not preaching the same message that this world of so-called Christianity is preaching. They're preaching, believe this and God will make what Christ did of value. What we're preaching is the believing we're talking about, the hope we're talking about, the love we're talking about is believing hoping in and loving something that's already done.
Amen.
And that's the difference. That's why we don't believe like they believe.
That's right.
That's why the faith we have is not the kind of faith they have. We know we all kind of believe the same thing, just if, you know, like election, predestination. No, it's a whole different setup.
Yes, sir.
It's a whole different gospel. It's a whole different message. That's hope's connection to salvation. But now let's look at the span of hope. The span of hope, span. You know what span means? It means, and it's not even a good word, but I have no other word to use. And you, I hope you'll see, that's a wish. I hope you'll see what I'm talking about. See, I used it too, didn't I? Hope span. Now think about this. The span of hope precedes any hope that resides in us. You understand what I'm saying now? In other words, hope doesn't begin when I start hoping. You see? This is what most people think. Well, when I believing starts when I start believing. No, believing's always been around because God Almighty believed first. Faith existed before I ever had it because it's what God gave me. It is at least a portion, a measure of God Almighty's faith given to me. Same thing with hope, same thing with love. I don't love you as the brethren with a human love. It has to go beyond that. It has to come, it has to be something outside of that dung pit, Joe.
Yeah.
It has to be something that comes from God Almighty, no matter what it is. So in other words, the span of hope, that is, the span of hope precedes hope in us. One, even in prophecy. I'm not going to turn to it, but Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21, Matthew chapter 15, verse 12, says that it was prophesied that in him, that's in Christ, shall the Gentiles trust. Now what's that word trust? What do you think that word is? Hope. So it was already prophesied that some people would hope in the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
And these people would be even Gentiles.
Yes, sir.
Not even Jews, right?
Exactly.
You can go back and read it for yourself. It's already prophesied. And this is not, God is not a glorified fortune teller.
No, sir. That's right.
God is a glorified God.
Amen.
He is not merely forth-telling what shall happen. He is foretelling what he is going to make happen.
Amen.
We don't believe in a God that is of the Seventh-day Adventist, not Seventh-day Adventist, the Mormons. They believe he's just a big glorified man up in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And he's able just to look into the future and see the future. No, we're saying God Almighty ordained the future. He purposed the future.
That's
if
right.
There was some people prophesied to hope in Christ, and it was prophesied back yonder, Joe, because God Almighty ordained for it to take place. So the span of hope preceded the actual hoping, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
First of all, in prophecy. That's what the book says. Second, in sovereign purpose. Now, let me read this one. Titus. Turn to Titus. And this is what Paul said to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Let me find my spot here. This is right there in the beginning. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. And notice the connection of those two things. The faith of God's elect, what does it do? It acknowledges truth.
Yeah.
Now the faith of religion will believe in Jesus, but then reject what he taught.
Yes, sir.
They'll believe in God, but they'll hate who God really is. The faith of God's elect, that lets me know it's a different kind of faith than just faith in general, right?
Amen.
The faith of God's elect is the acknowledging of the truth. And that's what godliness is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put it this way, and you could probably argue that I could probably state it a better way, but before you don't lay hold of truth by something that's in you and of you. You can only lay hold of truth by something God Almighty gives you.
Amen. Exactly.
It's true. And let me tell you something. Before you worry about whether or not you should go to the movies and watch this or that movie, you ought to be worried about whether you acknowledge the truth or not. Once you have a reason to believe you're acknowledging the truth, then you can worry about what movies you ought to watch. But let me tell you this, once you get a hope, well, once God Almighty reveals the truth to you, you can watch about whatever you want, and you'll start preaching against it and cussing it every time you get a chance. And yes, sometimes you'll cuss it. Why? Because if you acknowledge the truth, if you know the truth, you'll see the error in what's fed to you.
That's exactly right.
But look, in hope of eternal life. You see that? But look, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. There's the span of hope. Hope don't begin when I start trusting it. Hope began back yonder when God promised it.
Amen.
You see? In hope of what? Eternal life. If I'm hoping in something eternal, then evidently that hope was a reality. It was an objective hope before it was even subjective to me.
Exactly.
In other words, there is, and then let's read the other, that other one, hope span. Look at it, Titus chapter 3. I'm in the right place. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, and there the word again is, having been justified.
Yeah.
The being really doesn't hurt anything because, yes, we are continually being justified by God. But the point Paul makes is justification's a done deal. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, notice it does say not according to the hope in eternal life, but the hope what? Of eternal. So it takes eternal life we can even hope in. Eternal life. That's what that just said. It takes eternal life before you can even hope in eternal life. But eternal life didn't depend on your hoping. It was promised by God, who cannot lie, before the world began. In other words, somebody's got to have it.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's going to get it. You know, it's going to be. It's going to be. That's the span of hope. The prophecy and in sovereign purpose. Thus, hope, that is, the hope of eternal life must equal the promise. In other words, think about this. Hope is as old as God is.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably maybe a poor way of putting it, but I'm just putting it, trying to make a point. Hope is as old as God is, because what we hope in, one of the things we hope in, is right here plainly declared to be eternal life, and God promised that before the world began, and he can't lie about it.
Exactly.
So that's why we were saved in hope, not by it.
Exactly.
It's not I hope in God, then he'll save me. It's when he saves me, that's proof. Or when he saves me, the proof of that is that I'll begin to hope in him.
Amen.
I will begin to trust his promises. I will begin to believe his promises. I will begin to love his promises. And all these three go together.
Yeah.
There are people who believe it, but they believe it academically.
Yeah. Right.
And somebody says, how do you know that's not you? I don't absolutely. I don't absolutely. But I still believe it wholeheartedly. You see. Why? Because that's as far as I can go. In other words, we could put it this, it's like a ladder, but you will never in this state be able to climb to the top of that ladder.
Yeah.
You will be allowed to go as far as God allows you to go, but in this state, in this life, you'll never be able to go to the top. The only way to know for sure who God promised eternal life to is to be able to see the names written down in the book of life, given by the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Because when God promised it, he wrote some names down. That's the way it says it, doesn't it? He wrote names down in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. If you believe it, you love it, and you hope in it, then you have every reason to be comforted by that.
Amen.
Comforted by that. So again, as I say, this is hope's span. That it was prophesied, it was God's sovereign purpose, and there's one more. As I said, even our Lord, I done read it to you, even our Lord had hope. Why did it matter if he be raised from the dead? Because his resurrection is proof of our justification.
Amen.
Look at it.
Yes,
Romans chapter 4, isn't it? Talking about Christ. Last verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for what? For our justification. Right there is when I was justified.
Yes, sir.
Now, did I experience it right there? No. But that's when it was done.
Amen.
I experience it when I believe and love and hope in it.
Yes, sir.
And how can you hope for something that may or may not come to pass?
Right.
All you can do about that is a wish.
And
actually, that's what they ought to say, is you can wish for salvation, because even when you believe and love and hope and wish, all repent and do all of this, you still might not make it.
Yeah.
If you don't do it well enough or good enough. Now we're talking about God Almighty has promised eternal life to some people, and they're going to have it.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's faith, that's hope's connection. Not faith. That's hope's connection, and that's hope's span. But let's look at this. Now there is hope's momentum. Hope's momentum is always this way.
Yes, sir.
It's always this way.
Yes, sir.
It's never back that way. Now, let me clarify what I'm talking about here. What Paul says, and let me read it again, Romans chapter 8. For we were saved in hope, and I'll read it according to the actual received text. For we are saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. And yet he's using the word see to actually see it, but he's using a human illustration. In other words, if there's something you want or something you desire, if you already have it in your hands, you see it, it's already there, you don't have to hope for it anymore.
Exactly.
You don't have to expect it or anticipate it. You already got it.
Exactly.
You see? That's what he's saying. For we were saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
Exactly.
That's a 5-year-old child would understand that. But yet man cannot grasp it spiritually.
You're right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'll give you a purely human illustration. If my daddy, especially when I was young, I know better now, but, and I'm not being mean to Roy Jr., but when I was little, my daddy said, son, I'm going to give you this. That gave me what? Hope.
Yeah.
Why? Because I believed my daddy.
Yeah.
I believed he was able to do and would do what he said.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Our Heavenly Father is far greater and more able and more certain than you and I ever hoped to be.
Exactly.
Ever wished to be.
Yeah.
I got to start correcting myself than we ever wish to be. If God Almighty is able, and not only able. Now remember we talked about in a message ago that God's able, but sometimes he don't do certain things that he's able to do. Right? He's able to abase the proud, but he doesn't abase all the proud at one time. Or you know, there are a lot of proud people walking around, but he's able to. But let me tell you, if God's able and then he promises that he will, he says, I can't lie. He's going to do it. Now, we're not hoping Christ to put away our sins.
Yeah.
Are we? The scripture never uses that word hope. We have faith in that, but we don't hope for it. Why? Because
yeah.
It's already done. You already got it.
Yeah, exactly.
You see it in this word.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
You can see it. It's already said it's done. That's what believing and hoping and loving is. The record God gave of his son. And the record God gave his son is this. Let me read it. God, who at sundry times and in divers matters spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and in holding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So what's that saying? My sins were purged back yonder. I don't have to hope for that. Do I? And that's why the scripture never uses the word hope for that. Because hope has a forward momentum. In other words, when an article is described as hoped for, it's always ahead.
Exactly.
It's always ahead. Now, granted, there were Old Testament believers who hoped their sins would be put away.
Yeah.
But we don't hope for that now.
Exactly.
We believe it's done.
Amen.
And therefore, what we hope for is all the results that are all the results to the fact that our sins have been put away. What is it? Everything. Sanctification, regeneration, conversion, the ability to will and to do of His good pleasure when He works in it. Resurrection. Everything that's forward is hoped for.
Amen.
But if the Scripture says it's already done, you don't got hope for that anymore. That's the momentum of hope. It's stated of resurrection, Acts 23, verse 6. It's stated of Christ's return, Titus 2, verse 13, called the blessed hope. Yeah. It's stated of our glorification, Colossians 1, verse 27. And it's even stated of our hope in Christ. That is, if in this life only we have hope in Christ,
yeah,
we're of all men most miserable.
Exactly.
Because, let me tell you, if this is all there is to it, it ain't what it was promised to be.
Exactly.
Because it was promised to be much more than that.
Yes, sir.
It was promised that if we suffer with Him, and even Paul says it here in our chapter, yeah, if we suffer with Him, we're going to what?
Reign.
Now bless God, reigning. When God says reign, God means reign.
Yes, sir.
We ain't reigning right now. And if this is what the Old Testament meant when it talked about raining, it was blowing smoke.
Yeah.
And I'm not being critical of the Old Testament, because the Old Testament means exactly what it promised.
Yes, sir.
Our Lord God Almighty is going to come, and He's going to reign even on this earth. And we will reign with Him. And at the end of that time, He will wipe all of that away in a new heaven, a new earth, and we will continue to reign with Him there. That's what the book teaches.
Yeah.
Therefore, Mac, I hope for that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't just wish for it.
Yeah.
I hope for it. So that's hope. Thus, because of this, hope is not momentary.
Exactly.
See, it's not momentary because I ain't got it yet.
Yeah.
And God promised it. So I got to have it one day.
Yes,
sir. So it's not, well, I hoped in God yesterday. I hope that'll get me through. No, it's just like faith and love. If you have true faith, spiritual faith, you're always going to have it.
Yeah.
If you have true love, spiritual love, you're always going to have it. Yeah. If you have true hope, spiritual hope, you're always going to have it.
Yeah.
And this is what it says in Hebrews 3, verse 6, and Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. If we hold fast our confidence of the hope firm, how long? To the end.
Yeah.
Because if your hope can't last to the end, all you had was your hope.
Yeah.
If you got a God-given hope, Joe, it'll carry the day.
Yes, sir.
Because why? It's resting, it's anticipating what God has promised.
Exactly.
Now, if you're looking for some promise or something from God outside of specifically what the book says, you got a wish, you don't have a hope.
Exactly.
And you remember, the Apostle Paul said some people are without hope.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, Joe, don't they do everything, things every day that they hope to see? You know, they plant a seed. They hope to see it grow, right?
Oh, yeah.
They go to bed hoping to wake up the next morning. But Paul says, you Gentile, you were without hope. What this kind of hope?
Exactly.
But when God gives it to you, let me tell you, you'll have it for the rest of your life in spite of yourself. Well, how I know I'm going to make it to the end? You won't till you get there.
Exactly.
That's why I got to have faith with it.
Yeah.
That's why you got to have faith. That's why He gives. Let me put it, change it. That's why He gives faith along with hope.
Yes, sir.
Because if it was just hope, when you didn't hope very well, where would you be?
Exactly.
When you didn't feel like hoping, where would you be? But let me tell you, it's never a state of, well, I don't feel like believing today. I can't help but believe today.
Amen.
Exactly.
And because I believe today. And I can't help but love today. I can't help it. And because I believe it and I love it, I have hope.
Amen.
I have hope. So what is hope? What is spiritual hope? It is God's work in giving spiritual anticipation.
Yes, sir.
It is God's work in giving you spiritual anticipation or expectation. But on top of that, here's what it is. It is that God giving you this confident expectation of his promises from his word will be fulfilled.
Amen. That's right.
Not because of you or because you believe it, but because he said it. It has to happen.
Amen.
And then we'll look at how hope, you know, hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because there are things that were hoped for that we know came to pass.
Yeah.
You see? There are things that God promised to happen. They've already happened. Therefore, we know God's telling the truth. Don't we? He prophesied things for thousands of years prior, Joe, and they happened, some of them 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
We know God tells the truth.
Exactly.
And he's able, in spite of human circumstances all around us, to carry out his sovereign purpose. Now, that's something to hope in, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
That's just the way. That's a good hope. That's comfort of the scriptures.
Yes,
to have hope. Father, teach us these things, not just academically. But teach us these things in our experience. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.